A hadith, plural of hadith, are narratives which record the words, deeds, and tacit approvals of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are mostly akhbar-i-ahad, or isolate reports. It is absolutely evident that they do not add to the contents of religion stated in the Quran and Sunnah. In technical terms, they do not add any article of faith or any deed to religion. It has been stated at the beginning of this chapter that it is outside the scope of a hadith to give an independent directive not covered by the Quran and Sunnah. However, this is also a reality that the hadith literature is the largest and most important source which records the biography, history, and the exemplary life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as well as his invaluable explanations of various issues of religion. Thus, it occupies such great importance that no student of religion can ignore it. It is because of this importance of hadith that it is essential to know the principles which help us in understanding them. Before elaborating on these principles, we will first have a look at the grounds on the basis of which a hadith is accepted or rejected. Chain of narration of a hadith. It is the chain of narration of a narrative which makes it a hadith that can be attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In addition to any hidden flaws in the chain of narration of a hadith, or illal, the probity of the narrators, or adl, their grasp and memory, dabt, and their contemporaneousness, or ittisal, are the three standards which should be kept in consideration in the light of the material which the scholars of hadith have painstakingly made available. This is the standard which scholars of hadith have put forth for the examination of the chain of narration of a hadith, and is so sound that no addition can be made to it, nor anything taken away from it. Since attributing something suspect to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam can be of severe consequences in this world and in that to come, it is necessary to apply this standard without any lenience and with absolute impartiality to every narrative attributed to him. Only those narratives should be considered acceptable which fully conform to this standard. Thus, no narrative attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even if found in primary works as the Al-Jami' al-Sahih of Imam Bukhari, Al-Jami' al-Sahih of Imam Muslim, and the Al-Muwatta of Imam Malik can be accepted without application of this standard. Text of a hadith. After investigating the chain of narration of a hadith, the second thing which requires investigation is the text of a hadith. Although scholars of hadith have left no stone unturned in investigating the characters and biographies of the narrators, and have spent a greater part of their lives in this research, yet like every human endeavor, the natural flaws which still exist in the narration of a hadith require that the following two things must always remain in consideration while investigating the text of a hadith. Nothing in it should be against the Quran and Sunnah. Nothing in it should be against established facts derived from knowledge and reason. It has already been explained that in religion the Quran is the mizan, or the scale of truth, and the furqan, the distinguisher between truth and falsehood. It is like a guardian of every religious concept, and it has been revealed as a barometer to judge between what is right and what is wrong. Thus, no further explanation is required of the fact that if anything is against the Quran, then it must stand rejected. Similar is the case of the Sunnah. Whatever religion has been received through it is as certain and authentic as the Quran, as has already been explained earlier. There is no difference between the level of authenticity of the two. Just as the Quran is validated through the consensus of the Ummah, the Sunnah is also determined from its consensus. Since this fact is an absolute reality about the Sunnah, thus if a hadith is against the Sunnah, and if there is no way out to resolve a conflict between the two, the hadith in consideration must necessarily be rejected. Established facts derived from knowledge and reason also have the same status in this regard. The Quran is absolutely clear that its message is based on these established facts. Even its arguments on such basic issues as Tawheed and the hereafter are primarily based on these facts. It is the requirements and demands of these facts which the Quran highlights through its teachings. Every student of the Quran is aware that it presents these facts as deciding factors for the message it puts forth. It presented them as the final word both before the idolaters of Arabia and the people of the book. Those who oppose these are regarded by it as people who follow their base desires. Thus, intuitive realities, historical truths, results of experience and observation, all are discussed in the Quran in this very capacity. Hence, how can a hadith which is against these facts, regarded by the Quran as ones which distinguish between the truth and untruth, be accepted? It is obvious that it shall stand rejected. All leading scholars of hadith also hold this view. Al-Khatib writes, "A khabari wahid cannot be accepted which is against sense and reason, is against an established and explicit directive of the Quran, is against a known sunnah, or is against a practice which is observed like the sunnah, or its conflict with some conclusive argument becomes absolutely evident." Reference Ahmad ibn Ali ibn Thabit, Al-Khatib al-Baghdadi, Al-Kifaya fi ilm al-Riwaya, 432. Let us now take a look at the principles of understanding the hadith. Literary appreciation of the Arabic language. Just as the Quran has been revealed in highly literary Arabic, the language of the hadith too is highly literary Arabic. There is no doubt that a great number of ahadith have not been transmitted in their original words, yet whatever much has been preserved of the language of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions radiallahu ta'ala anhu is still enough for a keen student of the Quran to distinguish it from other material. Like the Quran, the language of the hadith too has a certain standard which does not accept any adulteration of material substandard to it. Thus, it is necessary that by a continuous study of its language, students of hadith are able to acquire enough skill of the language so as to reject narratives like al-Shaykh wal-Shaykha on the very basis of the language used in it. Similarly, they should have no problems in understanding the rather difficult style used in al-Bikr bal-Bikr. This skill is also required to solve difficulties posed by the syntax and morphology of the Arabic language. A person should have a deep study of what the authorities of these subjects have written. No one is able to solve the difficulties of hadith unless he is conversant with the delicacies of the Arabic language and its various styles and constructions. Interpretation in the light of the Quran. The hadith should be interpreted in the light of the Quran. The status occupied by the Quran has already been alluded to earlier. It is the most definite and authentic record of whatever Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did in his status of a prophet and messenger. Consequently, most topics covered in the hadith are related to the Quran the way a branch is related to a stem, or the way an explanation is related to the text it explains. Without a recourse to the original text, it is obvious that its corollaries and explanations cannot be understood. If all the mistakes in interpreting the hadith are minutely analyzed, this situation becomes abundantly clear. The incidents of stoning to death in the times of the Prophet ﷺ, the assassination of Ka'b ibn Ashraf, punishment meted out in the graves, narratives of intercession and directives as Umirtu an uqatil an-nas, which means I have been directed to wage war against these people, and Man bandara dinahu faqtaluhu, or execute the person who changes his faith, have become issues which have caused a lot of confusion and have been subjected to misinterpretation because they have not been understood by relating to them to their basis in the Quran. In short, if this principle is kept in consideration, a lot of perplexities are resolved in understanding the hadith. Understanding the occasion of the hadith. A hadith must be understood with reference to the instance and occasion of the topic it records. What was the occasion on which it was said? What was the background in which it was said? Who were the addressees? If one does not address these questions in interpreting a hadith, on many occasions, one fails to get the right interpretation. The hadith Al-Aimatu min Quraysh, or the rulers will be from the Quraysh, is a famous narrative. By the apparent words of this hadith, scholars of our ummah have been led to believe that a Muslim ruler must always be from among the tribe of the Quraysh. If this is accepted, then at least with reference to the political system, there remains no difference between Islam and Brahmanism. The basic reason in misinterpreting this hadith is the fact that this statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam related to the political situation which was to arise right after him. Instead of understanding this aspect, the directive stated in it was regarded to be an independent directive of religion applicable for all times. There are numerous such ahadith in canonical works, and they cover very important topics. It is essential that they be understood by keeping in consideration of this principle. Analysis of all the variant texts. All the variant texts of hadith must be studied in order to form an opinion about it. Many a time, a person may form an opinion about a hadith by not studying its variants. However, once he deliberates on all the variants, his overall interpretation changes. One glaring example of this are the ahadith which mention the prohibition of pictures and portraits. If only some of the narratives are studied, one can easily conclude that this prohibition is absolute and every picture and portrait is prohibited in Islam. However, if all the variants are collected and analyzed, it becomes evident that the prohibition is regarding only those pictures which have been made for worshipping. Several similar examples can be cited from the corpus of the hadith. Thus, it is essential that if one is not satisfied from the apparent words of a hadith, one must gather and collate all its variants to form an opinion. Reason and revelation. It must be appreciated that reason and revelation never contradict. Earlier on, while explaining the principles of acceptance or rejection of a hadith, it has been explained that religion is based on universally established facts derived from knowledge and reason, and if a hadith appears to be contradicting these established facts, then it must be deliberated upon repeatedly. However, summarily rejecting a hadith if it appears to be against these facts is not the correct academic approach. Similarly, ignoring these facts and accepting an insubstantial interpretation of the hadith should also not be the case. Experience shows that when a narrative is analyzed in the correct perspective, then many a time no contradiction remains with these facts, and what is stated in the hadith becomes very clear. This, of course, can only be achieved when it is fully accepted that there can be no contradiction between reason and revelation. The works of scholars who have kept this principle in consideration speak volumes of how aptly they have been able to interpret a hadith. Thus, one must always take into account this all-important principle in interpreting the hadith. O God, show us the truth the way it is and make us follow it, and show us falsehood the way it is and make us abstain from it.